I want to make a new connection using the demoniac as an illustration of the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind, using the demoniac to illustrate a complicated spiritual concept. Mark 5 and verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, Matthew and Luke refer to us that, Matthew refers to us that there are two men with unclean spirits. But Mark and Luke just mentioned one, intimating to us that, or giving us the clue that one of these men was much more violent and fierce. He was the, shall we say, the boss. And the other was the stooge. And so we don't hear about him. He's not relevant to the story except that he was there. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For Jesus had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, Jesus asked the man, or he asked the demons in the man, What is thy name? And he answered and said, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. You may wonder why Jesus would allow such a tragedy to take place, such an economic setback. But we have to also remember that Jesus was the Son of God. He was a Jew. And we have to also remember that the Jews were forbidden to eat pork in the first place. And Jesus didn't see this as an issue, just eliminating unnecessary temptations. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently, reflecting the tenor of those evil spirits. Ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid or amazed. Romans chapter 8. And I want to read verses 5 through 10 there. You could read the whole chapter. It would be so beneficial. But I've already read 15 verses. And I don't want you to get. And I don't want myself to stray too far from the topic today. This is a further honing of the message that we tried to preach to you last week. Further perfecting of the thought. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And I want to tie together this thought with last week, and I want to entitle this message this morning, Think Spiritual. And before we go any further, let us stop one more time and ask God to open our minds to His Word and our hearts and our ears that we can hear. Lord Jesus, we pray right now that our minds and our hearts will be open to Your Word. In spite of the death that is in our flesh, in spite of the weakness that is in our flesh, in spite of the weariness that often dulls our senses physically, God, I pray that we would be open to receive in our spirits from Your Spirit during this time of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Think spiritual. The first thing that we see and that we want to understand and get across to you today is that no one can tame the sinful man. Not even fetters and chains can hold him. The Bible says in Matthew that he was fierce. He was violent. And that he literally refused passage to anyone who traveled along that path. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 8. You can't tame the beast. The Bible says no man could tame him. You cannot tame the beast. Dawn Branchout, 40-year-old marine biologist working with the killer whales at SeaWorld last year. We got to go there on our vacation trip, and we spent some time at SeaWorld. Some miserable, cold time at SeaWorld, and we did get to go see the Shamu show. And Shamu is just a name that is given to the show to any of the killer whales. That's not actually their names. They all have different names. And apparently, that day, the killer whales, for some reason, were not themselves. For some reason, quote unquote, for some reason, they were not themselves that day. But they were going to find out that you can't tame the beast. And they were probably being more like themselves that day than they were at any of the other times when they did the little moves and all of the things and the tricks. And the show wasn't that great because of the accident that took place last year. They're no longer allowed to get in the water with the whales. And apparently while she was in the water with the whale began to play with her. And the particular whale that she was working with that day is the largest of all the whales, one of the oldest, a large male. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. We're talking somewhere as an 18 or 20 foot long killer whale. And actually maybe, yeah, that would be about from from the wall to maybe about where I'm standing here, and maybe actually even a little bit further than that, and a huge, gigantic whale. And apparently this whale began to play with her. And if you look hard on the internet, you can see a picture of the whale, and he just started diving over the top of her. And then he'd push her into the water, and then she'd come back up, and then he'd immediately dive back over the top of her. And he was playing with her, and she was trying to get a hold of his face to somehow try to get a grip, a handle on him to help to settle him down. And it kind of, when I watched the video, it kind of reminded me of my wife trying to settle Roscoe down. He just can't help himself when he's around my wife. And he just wild, and he jumps all over the place and snips and snaps. And I always try to tell her how to fix that problem, but it's just not in her nature to be able to do that. But finally, the killer whale got a hold of her arm and just began to dive with her under the water and up out of the water and under the water. And it almost just looked as if the whale was just playing with her and having friendliness with her. But for her, it was the last day that she would ever breathe on this earth. You can't tame the beast. A killer whale is called a killer whale for a reason. And they actually say that killer whales are from the porpoise family, and that they're more kin to dolphins than they are to sharks or anything else. And the whale did not eat her. It had no desire to eat her, but it was just a beast that was being tamed in a small little cage. It would be like putting you or I into a box and shipping us across the world. These giant whales are known to Their roaming grounds are the whole entire world. They roam from the coldest waters to the hottest waters, from the Atlantic to the Pacific to the Indian. The killer whales have been spotted in all waters over the entire world. And you can imagine putting them in a little box. But for whatever reason, it's neat to go see, and it's wonderful to go view, and it's just interesting to see what they can do with these wild animals, and it makes you think good thoughts, and everybody claps in there and enjoying it. But it's sad times like these that happen to Dawn Branchout that we realize that they're still beasts, they're still wild animals, and they cannot be tamed. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 in the New Living Translation. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And anybody who plays with the sinful nature, with the carnal mind, is going to find out that it has a mind of its own. And when you give in to it, it will get a hold of you. It will drown you, destroy your life. This man was tormented and driven. This man was never going to reach his God-given potential. He was living in tombs and screaming, the Bible says, crying, screaming out, and cutting his flesh with sharp rocks. He was bound by a legion of demons. They call themselves legion, and a Roman legion was upwards of 6,000 plus soldiers, and oftentimes referred to as 2,000. That number is actually derived from the amount of swine that ran into the river. A legion is upwards of 6,000. This man was a stronghold of Satan. He was a stronghold of the carnal mind. He was the epitome of a life gone bad. And he was infamous in the region. And we don't know where he did at one time had a family. We don't know to where at one time he wasn't an official or a businessman in the community. But something had happened to him. Something had changed him. Something had gone wrong in his mind. Something had got a hold of him, and his carnality got the best of him. And as carnality would, it led him down a destructive path, an animal path, and eventually he was overtaken by thousands of demons to where that they drove him from society and led him out into caves and tombs. And he was fierce and stood between those that would come and grieve over their loved ones. He would just torture them and torment them and drive them away. They tried to chain him up. They tried to put locks on his arms and on his feet, but the Bible says he literally just plucked them apart. Because you can't tame the beast. In Romans it says to be carnally minded is death. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not the enemy of God. It is the epitome of everything that God is not. You know, it is words that God would not use. It is thoughts that God would not think. It is actions and deeds that God would never do. It is literally enmity against God. It's not just the enemy of God, because an enemy could be turned, an enemy could be converted, but sin in the carnal mind is literally the direct opposite. It's like the difference between light and darkness, the difference between day and night. It is everything that God is not. It is enmity against God. And the Bible says that they that are in the flesh in Romans cannot please God. Now I understand and I realize that we're in a really strange situation here, because we live in the flesh. But the Bible says that we should walk after the Spirit. And Galatians tells us this, this strange tug of war for control in our lives that goes on. And the Bible goes on in Romans and says, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The carnal mind cannot serve God. It cannot please God. It cannot connect to God in any sort of way. Only the spiritual mind can communicate with God. And I don't care who you are. I don't care. We're all at different levels. I'm sure that the people looked at the man that was a demoniac and they thought to themselves, what a terrible shame, what a terrible condition, not realizing that they themselves could just be a step away from insanity. Not realizing that they themselves could just be a thought away, a decision away. Only by the grace of God they had not fallen along that same pathway. The Bible says, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. We're all just a step away from insanity, from the carnal mind. From one bad thought, from one wrong decision, we're all just a step away. This man had fallen headlong into this pathway. And in the torment of his life, he epitomizes what the Bible talks about as the carnal mind. This is what the carnal mind leads to. This is what the carnal mind results in. This is a type of life. And he would never reach his God-given potential, because the carnal mind cannot help you do that. But I mentioned to our men's prayer meeting Monday night, don't know if it was this week or last week, I can't even remember. I think it was this week. Something amazing to me happens in this story. Something totally amazing happens. It is amazing to me what this man does. The Bible says that when he saw Jesus in verse 6 afar off, he ran and worshiped him. The Bible says even the demons tremble. This man is possessed with thousands of demons. And what does he do? He comes and he literally runs up to Jesus, and the word worship is specifically indicative of falling down on our knees and on our face and prostrating ourselves before someone. When it says to worship, that's literally what it means. It also often includes grabbing the feet of the person that you're worshiping and literally begging for their favor. This man is possessed with thousands of demons. He is a fierce and violent man that has supernatural evil strengthened him, that not even iron and chains can hold him down. And he runs and he goes right up to Jesus and falls on his face and worships him. The most mentally unstable, tormented, demon-possessed man that we come across in the Bible can even have enough presence of mind to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship him. All of the malevolent forces in the world cannot keep you from worshiping Jesus. But you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand my life and my situation and where I'm going and where I've been from. And you don't know all the things. Let me tell you something. This man was possessed with thousands of demons that were violent and fierce. And when they got into the pigs, the Bible says that it literally caused the pigs to go insane. And they ran down a sharp cliff and drowned themselves. But this man had enough presence of mind in the midst of all of his torment and insanity and instability to recognize who Jesus was and fall on his face and worship him. You cannot tame the beast, but Jesus can.
Amen. Right.
You can control things for a while. You can have some influence, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. You can make some decisions, and you can have some control and play over what happens. But once you have given control up to somebody else, you are at the mercy of whoever it is that you give control up to. And when you give up control of your mind and your thoughts to carnality, you will lose control of yourself to sin. But God has created us in His image. And God has given man dominion over the earth. And while you cannot tame the beast, there is no force that can stop you from finding your way to Jesus Christ.
Right.
In Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not have dominion over you." What am I saying today? I'm saying you are in the middle of a wrestling match. You're in the middle of a struggle between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And the carnal mind, the sinful mind, wants the opposite of what God's Spirit wants. And the Spirit is trying to give us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature wants. And these two forces, Galatians says, are fighting against each other. And it's difficult for you to carry out your good intentions. You have a lot of good intentions and things that you would like to accomplish in the kingdom of God. There are things and people that you would like to connect with. There are relationships that you would like to strengthen and grow. There are achievements that you would like to achieve. But you're stymied and you are stumped. And it seems like you are snagged and unable to get loose and get free. And I'll tell you why. It's because you are in a battle with the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. And until we give the Spirit of God full control of our thoughts and our feelings and our actions and everything that we do, until we learn to think spiritually, we'll never reach our full potential. But you have a choice. You have dominion and you have authority. Adam and Eve gave their dominion to sin. Because the Bible says sin and death entered into the world by one man, by Adam. He gave his dominion to sin. To please his flesh. Now the devil was there, and he was a catalyst. And he's always there, and he's always a catalyst. But they gave their dominion to sin. And every man and every woman in their life has to make a decision at some point. Am I going to think carnal or am I going to think spiritual? Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17, we see this struggle immediately after the garden and the fall there. Immediately we see this struggle repeated with Adam and Eve's children, Cain and Abel. And Cain is very angry about some things that are happening that God is establishing. And he takes it personal to him as though it was, and it really wasn't. And it says in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17, you will be accepted. God is talking to Cain. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, because sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. Now what did he say to him after that? But you must subdue it and be its master.
That's right.
David said in Psalm 119, 133 in the New International Version, direct my footsteps according to your word and let no sin rule over me. What can happen, and what God does, and what happened to this demoniac when he met Jesus, was he can't take us out. He can, but he doesn't take us out of the sinful flesh. He doesn't take us out of this carnal flesh, but he changes our spirit. He changes our spiritual mind. The Bible says in John 8:36, when the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. The Bible says this, when they came to see what had happened, Jesus immediately commanded those demons to come out of him. They went into the swine. After some momentary conversation, the swine killed themselves. And then the Bible says when they came to this man, obviously he had literally been naked. Carnal mind, the sinful desires. He was literally naked, and the Bible says they found him clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and completely sane. The carnal mind will drive you to insanity, but the spiritual mind will make you sane. The carnal mind will drive you to fulfill desires and lusts that can never be satiated, but the spiritual mind will give you water to drink, Jesus said, that you will never thirst again. In Ephesians, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23, in the New Living Translation, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. You know what I see a lot of times in the church? You know what I feel in the Spirit a lot of times? I don't see demons. I really don't. I know when I'm around one, but I don't see them. I know when I'm around supernatural things like angels or the Spirit of God. I don't see them, but I know that they're there. I feel them. I feel the Spirit of God in this place today. I feel angels in this building today. I also feel the spirit of carnality here. I feel the spirit of distraction and carnality. And when I get around somebody that is in the carnal mind, I can feel it. The Bible says, cast not your pearls before swine. The things of the Spirit cannot be understood by the carnal mind. Only by the spiritual mind. And you're having a pointless conversation. When you're talking spiritual and somebody else is talking carnal, it's pointless because they cannot receive what you're saying. What they need is they need to be set free by the Son of God. They need to have a face-to-face meeting with Jesus Christ. And you just as well save your conversation. You just as well save all of the reasonings and the logic and the scriptural gyrations and gymnastics that you want to do. Until that person has a change of heart and mind, it's going to be like talking to a brick wall. What you need, the Bible says, is that without the Spirit of God, we are none of His, and we cannot please God. When you get around somebody that's in the carnal mind, you know, sometimes you even run into people who are supposed to have the Spirit of God inside of them, and yet they still think carnally. And you can tell. They try to sound smart, and they try to sound spiritual, and the more they try to sound smart, and the more they try to sound spiritual, the more the Holy Ghost is grieved and irked by their thoughts and their words. There is something different about a person who thinks is spiritual. And if you're carnally minded, they will irritate you too. And it's not that one person can be more holier than somebody else. We are all at different levels of spiritual maturity. It is possible for two people that are thinking spiritually to see things from different vantage points, because one person, Paul said, whatever, whatsoever you have attained to, mind that same rule and stay in that place where you come to understand some things. You hang on to that until God is ready to reveal more to you. But the carnal mind is enmity against God. But we can also be of varying viewpoints and still be spiritual minded. But it may be due to the differences of spiritual maturity, understanding, experience in God. And so when we come in contact with another believer that doesn't see things the way we do, we need to talk less and listen more. And when we speak, we need to ask questions so we can understand where they're coming from. Because we may be face to face with somebody who can show us the way to the next step of maturity. Think spiritually. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. And when the Son sets you free, you will inherit a spiritual mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot please God. It cannot receive the things of God. In order to, I believe it was Jeremiah, among the prophetic anointing of God, said, I'm going to take out the stony heart from you, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And no man, the Bible says, can know the mind of God except the Spirit of God. But then it goes on and says, but we have the mind of Christ, and we are filled with the Spirit of God. And if you reach a point in your thinking, if you reach a point in your life where there is a contradiction with inside of your thoughts, and you're not sure which way to turn and which way to go, it's time for you to knuckle down and start thinking spiritually. Yeah. It's time for you to cast out the carnal mind and to bring in the Spirit and say, God, what would you have me to do in this situation? God, what would your Spirit direct me and guide me to say to this person at this moment? God, what would you have me to say? What would you have me to do? How would you have me to think? How would you have me to act? And God's Spirit will guide you and cause you to say things and do things that you have never thought of. My goodness, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, the first thing that in the Bible, the first thing that those in the Bible, in Acts, when they were filled with the Spirit of the Lord, when they were filled with the gift of the Holy, the first thing they did was speak in tongues, which was something that they could not do on their own. The first thing that God does when He fills you with the gift of the Holy Ghost is work a miraculous sign in you. As you begin to speak in tongues, you start speaking in a language either of angels or men that you have not learned. It's impossible for you to do that at that moment in time without the help of God's Holy Spirit. It's the beginning of a long string of amazing miracles and signs that God wants to work in your life. He births you again, amen, of the water and of the Spirit with a miraculous sign. Speaking in an unknown language to you, and praises and mysteries of God. It's just the beginning of miraculous signs that God is changing everything about you. He's changing everything. He can't necessarily at this point in time, He's not going to change your physical nature. Although He does heal our bodies, we are all going to die one day. He can heal you of cancer 100 times, but you are still going to die.
Right, right.
But while our bodies are dying, the writer says, our spirits are renewed day by day by day. And the weaker the flesh becomes, the more in tune with God and the more perceptive of the spiritual things you are. You can be. Because it is when we are at our weakest and lowest points that we have the greatest perception of the spiritual things. Because the carnal mind will always try to rise up and take control. But you've got to take dominion over it. And I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you're a woman with an issue of blood. I don't care if you're a ruler with a dead daughter. I don't care who you are, what situation you're in. If you can get to the presence of Jesus Christ, if you can get to the presence of the Lord, He can change everything about that situation.
Yes, sir. Right.
You can change the way you see it.
That's
right. The spiritual mind is life and peace. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid and amazed. The spiritual mind is life and peace. And God will give us a new mind and a new spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
And scrap the old ways of thinking and step into a whole new world of thoughts.
That's right.
And if you're not experiencing that, then you need to be filled with the Spirit again.
That's right.
If you are filled with the Spirit, but you're not experiencing that, it's time for you to bring down another little tower of carnality with anxiety. It's not wrong to feel that from time to time. It's not wrong to we get the idea that being a Christian means I'm never going to feel bad. I'm never going to be depressed. I'm never going to doubt. I'm never going to have any of those problems that everybody else has. Oh, yes, you are. You are in the flesh.
Right.
But with a spiritual mind, God causes your perception of these things to be so 180 degree different than what everybody else sees. He allows you to see His hand at work. He allows you to see, and He uses the trials of life to benefit you with heavenly treasures. And everything about what you're doing in your life changes 180 degrees. And you're filled with His Spirit, and He changes your mind and your way of thinking. Temptations will still be there. The carnal flesh will always still try to pull you down. You can't give the carnal flesh a little tank and feed it fish food and give it a little life to live of its own, because it's going to grow. You got to take little sprinkles and you got to pull it out of the goldfish bowl and you got to flush them down the toilet and be done with him. And remove his goldfish bowl from your house. He's still there, but he doesn't have to live with you. He's still wild. He's still roaming the earth. He's still marauding around in your life, but he doesn't have to live with you. He doesn't have to stay with you. Think spiritual. Think spiritual. How many of you would agree with me that it's easier said than done? How many of you would agree with me that you're learning to try to do that more and more?
Amen.
And the best place to start is that place that you always trip over. You ever do that before? Trip over something in your house?
Yeah.
Then a couple days later you walk back by and you trip over it again?
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself while you're grabbing your toe, I'm never going to do that again. And then a couple days later, you do it again, you trip over it again, hit your toe in the same place, or whatever it might be. Sometimes we have to remove the danger so that we won't continue to stub our toes in the same place. We have to make some dramatic changes. Sometimes we have to let the beast go. You can't tame it. It's like a little book, a little kid's book about the boy and his fish and the fish that grew. And the man told him, he said, don't feed him very much. I remember that kid's story. Don't feed the fish very much. You know what the boy did, don't you? He looks hungry, Brother Patrick. Let's feed him. He looks hungry. Fed him some more. He came back in the room and the fish was as big as the bowl. We could just barely get him out. Put him in the bathtub. He looks hungry, Mary. Let's feed him some more. Pretty soon the water in the tub is sloshing out on the floor and he barely can get him down the stairs and into the pool. And before you know it, he's as big as the pool and they have to call the man. I told you not to feed him, didn't I? You fed him, didn't you? You fed him more than when I told you, didn't you? Well, yeah. And he has to come somehow and let all the air out of him. I don't know how he does it, but he shrinks it back down to a little goldfish. We are filled with the Spirit of God. So while our flesh is decaying and disobeying and trying everything to tear us down, our spirit takes dominion over the flesh. Our spirit, via the Spirit of Jesus Christ coming inside of us, gives us power, because He came in the flesh and came in the likeness of sinful flesh and took dominion over that sinful flesh. When His Spirit is living inside of you, you can think spiritually and have dominion. But no, there are no buts. Because it's funny how the Lord works. He knows when you're about to twist off. He knows when you're about to make a mistake. He knows when you're about to falter. And He has resources at His ready. He has angels at His beck and call. He has saints of God who are in tune with Him. And it is amazing when you're about to twist off, when you're about to falter, God can stir things up around you and bring you spiritual help. And it's up to you at that point whether or not you desire to have dominion, to take that escape route. Let's all stand together, if you will, right now.